All right, on Tuesdays, you know what we do? We head to FHN, and today it's the FHN Dial-A-Doc program, and she is the infection preventionist and a clinical quality and professional development as well. Margie Coachmeyer's back with us again. Hey, Margie, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Well, I understand this flu season and this flu this year, is it worse than normal? I've been hearing some bad things out there. What have you been hearing, Margie?
It has been bad. We expected this. We watched Australia, and we knew that we had a bad flu season, and we have tried to prepare for that.
First off, maybe what we should do is just define the flu. Tell us what you're talking about.
When we're talking about the flu, we're talking about influenza, the seasonal viral illness. It causes the body aches, the cough, and fever. This is the one that we are vaccinated for every year, and it provides protection for us. The stomach flu is more GI symptoms, and the flu vaccine does not cover GI flu.
I know that, we just talked about it in terms of bad. We know that it is bad this year. Why is that the case? Why is it so bad this year?
It's because of the strain that we see circulating right now. The majority of the flu strains that's being reported by the CDC continues to be that strain A, the H3N2. And we've seen histories of this, and whenever we see this as the circulating strain, we see more deaths, hospitalizations. I mean, it's especially bad for people that are older than 65 and kids that are younger than 2, especially if they've got chronic conditions like asthma or kidney and liver disease.
I know that the news out there has been that this vaccine this year, the flu vaccine, are reported to be as low as 10% and maybe up to 30% effective. Tell us about, what does that mean?
Well, that means that we watched Australia, and they saw about 10% effectiveness. That wasn't for the entire strains that we see circulating. That was for the specific type A, the H3N2. Now, in the United States, we see higher than 10% because we have more people here that get vaccinated. One of the problems with the H3N2 is the flu vaccine is grown in eggs, and it's more difficult, for some reason, to grow the H3N2. This is a strain that mutates quickly. It moves through the population faster. So it's harder to have a vaccine that is perfected for fending this one off. But I say 30% is better than nothing, even for, you know, the worst strain.
And I guess the other issue, I know you talk about this a lot as well when we talk about this, is that you may get the flu, but the flu vaccine may actually lessen some of the symptoms that you're experiencing.
And that's right. It can lessen the duration, some of the symptoms, and it may make the difference between somebody that can be treated as an outpatient or somebody that has to come into the hospital or even be in the ICU on a ventilator.
We're talking to Margie Coachmeyer, infection preventionist at FHN and the FHN Dial-A-Doc program. Is the flu at its peak right now yet?
You know, it's hard to say. From what I'm seeing and what the CDC is reporting, it looks like it is at its peak. The problem is we don't know how long it's going to stay there. I'm still seeing consistent numbers every day that's coming through the office. So it looks to me like we're peaked, but I don't see that we're on the downside yet.
What about if someone hasn't had their flu shot yet? What's your recommendation there?
Absolutely, yes. The flu, I think people think sometimes it's not taken seriously, but there are deaths of all ages that are being reported, especially this year. If you do decide to take a flu shot, know that it's going to take about 2 weeks to get full protection from it. And if you are interested, the places you can go are local pharmacies in the area. And I think about Dr. Geller always saying, take a vaccine for preventable illnesses.
What about if you're going to treat the flu at home, someone's gotten the flu at home, what's your suggestion there?
Remember that it's a virus, so you're not going to be able to treat it with an antibiotic. Antiviral medications can be used, and they're especially effective if they're used within the first 48 hours. They lessen the duration and the intensity of the symptoms. But you can treat it with Tylenol for headache and fever. For a cough, you can use over-the-counter cough medicines. So if you go to the local pharmacy, you see all those products. Don't be afraid to ask the local pharmacist to help you make a choice. Drink plenty of fluids, stay home if you're sick. And if you feel like you're not getting better, if you have, you know, a cough or a temp or a headache that lasts greater than 2 to 3 weeks, that could be a sign that you have a secondary bacterial infection, and then you will need an antibiotic.
What about the flu symptoms now for, you know, in the target population that we're most concerned about, difference between kids and seniors? Do you see any differences between those two sets of age groups?
I have seen in my surveillance so many children, especially under the age of 8, that have been testing positive. Kids don't have much immunity, and then they're susceptible because they don't know how to keep themselves protected by washing their hands. They touch their face. They let their germs in. We've had 37 pediatric deaths as of last Friday in the United States. Some very sad cases of children that have died. And yeah, we see a lot of the older than 65, they just have more chronic conditions that leave them more susceptible.
We're talking to Margie Kochmeyer, infection preventionist. Of course, at this time of year, we're talking flu. What about keeping our homes and workplaces healthier? How can we do that?
One of the best things that you can do is take a vaccine every year. That is the best way to protect yourself. And then keep your immune system healthy so that you don't get run down. Make sure that you're getting plenty of sleep. Humidify the air. Flu viruses, people think that because the weather gets cold that we're killing all the germs. Flu viruses like cold, dry air. They can actually float on the air, and then they stay where we can walk through them and breathe them in. Remember good hand hygiene with either hand sanitizer or soap and water. Keep the high-touch surfaces wiped down. Depending on the kind of work that you do, think about the things that are shared in your offices or your workspaces, the phone, the computers. Those should all be disinfected in between use. Think about the things that you get that you bring into the house. Think about this time of year and people getting a lot of packages from FedEx or UPS. Be careful where you put those and think about how many people have touched those. A lot of people put them on the counter or the table, and then think about the germs that are left behind from that.
What about, of course, at FHN, you guys have the germ robots. Tell us about those.
This is the ultraviolet light robot that we bring into rooms. It's being used a lot at this time of the year. We have two of them. We use them after every patient that's in isolation. We use them after every ICU patient's left. And then we use them in, we target departments that maybe have had people that have had some flu-like symptoms. We have also shared this with the community. Our schools, we have loaded the robot up and taken it out. When schools have called us and said, we've got lots of people calling off sick. We have zapped locker rooms, cafeterias, so we are trying to help them keep their germs and their illnesses to a minimum.
I know that you're traveling here soon. Next week I'm traveling. I'm going on an airplane. Boy, I'm double thinking about it. I may just want to stay at home, wrap myself in saran wrap, just stay home.
You can travel and be safe. I carry a little package of things with me. I like to have a mask in case somebody is coughing on the plane. I can put a mask on. I like to wipe down the armrest, the table, and I bring hand sanitizer.
All right. I probably, because of you now, I'm going to at least get, I'm not going to be that guy that wears the mask. I'm not going to do that. I just can't do that.
To the guy that's coughing.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Maybe that's the way to do it. Here, I've got a mask for you here, please. I am going to do the hand sanitizer stuff. I just think because you say, keep your hands clean. That's really the big issue, isn't it?
That's correct. And then the first time before you have a meal, make sure that you wash your hands with soap and water.
Right. I've been doing, I'm not a germaphobe, but I'm, you know, I think about it a lot. The other thing that I've been doing is when I get like a hamburger and then I put the ketchup and the mustard on and whatever, I then go to the bathroom before I eat the sandwich because the ketchup and mustard bottle, I'm sure has been, you know, touched a million times before me.
That's correct.
Yeah.
You're well informed.
Yeah, I'm getting a little weird. That's what I'm getting. All right, Margie. Always great to talk to you. Thank you very much, and we'll talk again soon. Oh,
thank you.
Any more information? How can folks get more information?
You can go to our website, fhn.org. Click on the FHN News. Always look at reputable websites, flu.gov, CDC, WebMD. Then you can go to trued.com and read about the robot.
All right, there you go. Margie, safe travels for you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Same
okay.
to you.
All right.
Thank you.
Margie Kochmeyer here today, infection preventionist here today, and that is the Dial-A-Doc program from FHN here today on The Morning Mess.